My biggest lesson learned is that you really can't put a value on your network and how important they are to you. So it sounds operationally like starting a company is an easy thing to do. It's an LLC, or it's talking to an attorney, or talking to an operations advisor, learning a little bit about accounting, and then you're off and running. And all those pieces are great and they're necessary, but being able to talk to somebody who has founded a successful business that has been doing this for 5, 6, 10 years, that can guide me through the feelings or the doubts or the challenges that I'm going through, and really relying on other people to say, these are the things you're going to have to work through. These are going to be your hurdles moving from a corporate job into working for yourself and becoming a full-time consultant. That's invaluable.
This is Facility Rockstars, the podcast that celebrates the unsung heroes of our daily lives, facility professionals. I'm your host, Jay Culbert. Join me as we honor these great leaders, sharing stories, insights, and expertise that empower us all to learn and grow together. Facility Rockstars is sponsored by Colutus, operating the way you operate in order to make your life easier.
Welcome back to Facility Rockstars. I am your host, Jay Culbert, and I can't wait to announce today's guest. He's an accomplished operations advisor with over 15 years worth of experience building companies from 10 to 600 plus team members. His hands-on experience allows him to offer practical solutions aligned with the unique requirements of the biotech and life science industries. He is a two-time guest on the show now, and I'm super excited to announce that he has successfully launched his new company, Trailblaze Bio. John Menard, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Jay. I'm super excited to update you on my progress and let everybody know how things are going.
We can't wait to hear more about it. And congratulations on the launch. We had planned this prior, and now you've done it.
Yeah, lots of planning, lots of nerves, but we're through it. And now everything is just easy.
Okay, we'll get into the easy part. You know, before we do, I actually want to press the rewind button, if you will, and remind you, I, and the audience of the key points we discussed last time. And as we get into our discussion, we'll talk more about how that lens may have changed or emphasized or otherwise for you after you launch Trailblaze, okay?
Yeah, that's great.
So we talked about leveraging networking opportunities. You made that a very key point of your career development, your whole network, emphasizing the importance of every conversation, like, you know, treat them all with the same weight and intention. The need for agility and lean management with small biotech firms, reliable vendor partnerships was critical. Strategic real estate decisions were super important. And then outsourcing non-core functions to ensure sustainable growth. And if I recall correctly, you talked about that in the same light of allowing people to have a healthy work-life balance if you do that.
Yeah, that's a great recap of everything we discussed last time. And it's only more so important now. I think now that I'm really into the, I guess I'll call it the meat and potatoes of founding a company, and it's a real thing now. It's launched. I have making new contacts all the time, getting my name out there, constantly in business development mode. All of those things are just, they're becoming more and more important to me. The reliable vendor management relationships, and having good people to introduce to clients. Been out meeting with EHS companies. I've met with procurement software providers. I've been meeting with colleagues that I haven't talked to in quite a while that have started their own IT operations companies. So it's really a lot of just reconnecting with people, both to, you know, network and get my name out there, but to have good, reliable vendors to introduce to clients. So that's really been the past couple months for me. And that's sort of building that network around what I'm doing to further help support clients at things that are even outside of my expertise is just, it's really important to me right now.
It's a lot going on, John. A lot going on.
It is. Yeah.
So I asked you this question last time, and I'm going to ask it very intentionally again, because now you've launched your company. So with all that, what has been your biggest lesson learned in launching Trailblaze Bio?
my biggest lesson learned is that you really can't put a value on your network and how important they are to you. So, you know, it sounds operationally like starting a company is an easy thing to do. It's, you know, it's an LLC, or it's, you know, talking to an attorney, or talking to an operations advisor, learning a little bit about accounting, and then you're off and running. And, you know, all those pieces are great and they're necessary, but being able to talk to somebody who has founded a successful business that has been doing this for 5, 6, 10 years, that can guide me through, you know, the feelings or the doubts or the challenges that I'm going through, and really relying on other people to say, you know, these are the things you're going to have to work through. These are going to be your hurdles moving from a corporate job into working for yourself and becoming a full-time consultant. That's invaluable. And I feel very lucky and very blessed to have those people in my network and those people that I can rely on. You know, every time I get going into something new, it's the first time I've ever done it, whether it's marketing on LinkedIn or building a company page or updating a website or, you know, just making connections all the time. And those are the types of things that for me, the value is just increasing all the time. But having people to bounce ideas off of and running things by them, or, hey, like, you know, take a look at my one pagers. I want to put this out on LinkedIn and, you know, to boost myself and get my name out there. What do you think about these things? And they're great people. They're encouraging, but they're also critical at the same time. Like, you know, if I'm headed the wrong direction with something, or I need to revisit something and rework it, they're not afraid to tell me, and they're not afraid to give me that critical advice. So, I would say the number one thing that's helped me is that strong network that I have.
Would you say, John, that it's, cause this is one of the points you brought up in the past, right? In our last discussion too, is like having your network is invaluable. And now you're talking about it through the eyes of a founder. Is it more critical now, equally as critical? How would you speak to that?
I think that it's more critical now. And it's not just the network that I do have. It's the network that I'm developing. It's learning to, you know, not just take on a couple clients and then coast and be happy with that. It's, you always have to put yourself in business development mode. You always have to be starting new conversations and meeting new people and going to events and in networking. Like, it's, I knew the value of it going into it, and I knew that I had a great start. But it's really, I would say the value just constantly increases for me.
Good for you. So what does it feel like to be a founder? You're kind of answering it, but like, what, like, now you're in it, you report to you or your customers, maybe. Mm-hmm. You could say that as well. What does it feel like?
I would say that the best description of what it feels like is to go through an entire range of emotions about what you're doing constantly, pretty much every week. I mean, leaving the dependability of corporate insurance, a W-2 job, knowing what you're doing, where you're going, and, you know, being directed on a yearly basis by a group of executives that you report to. When all of that becomes, you do that for yourself, it's a scary thing. And it's, you know, I have times where I say, am I making the right decision? Is this the best choice for my family? Am I dedicating too much time to my job? It's scary, but at the same time, when you see it working, it's rewarding and it makes you feel good about what you're doing. But, you know, I'm very fortunate that I have, you know, a wonderful partner, and I have wonderful people around me that when I have those moments where I start doubting myself, or I start getting worried about the future, or, you know, being able to actually make this work, I have a great support system to say, you know what you're doing. You're doing it for yourself now. You're going to make it work. It's going to take time. And learning to have that patience and not just expect to have everything the way you want it out of the gate. That's difficult. It's a difficult thing to learn, to be patient. So being a founder is great. It has a lot of challenges, obviously. It can be very rewarding, but like I said, it's, you go through this entire range of emotions and a little bit of self-doubt mixed in with some triumphs here and there. And it's just, it's a little bit all over the place, but it's, you know, it's a good ride.
Well, it's a brave, bold, ambitious move that you made. I applaud you for it. It's great. Good for you.
Now, I have to remind myself of that sometimes too. Like, it, you know, one of my favorite things I've heard is great things don't happen from people playing it safe. So that, mm-hmm. that's what I keep in the back of my mind. So
very true. Very true. So I'm just kind of looking at one of the points that we talked about last time, you mentioned the need for agility and lean management with small biotech firms. How has your lens on this or attitude around that changed, or how are you applying that to your business?
I would say the lens of it has changed in, you know, changing my target audience a little bit. And, you know, I think going into it, like, I've worked for really, really small companies of, you know, 10 people or less, large companies of more than 600 people in operations roles. And I think that it's changed for me. Like, the agility piece is important for every company, but I think, you know, the scope of what I'm doing in my, you know, my ideal client, it's really sort of honing in now on smaller teams for seed size, you know, pre-series A, for people that just need one point of contact for operations, whether it's, you know, it's for people that are saying, I need help procuring lab equipment. I need help getting into a flex office. I need, you know, help procuring lab supplies. How's that going to work? It's really people that are looking for a jack of all trades that just, it's one person I can pick up the phone and call. And if he doesn't know the answer right away, he knows somebody that has the answer. So that's, you know, I think that's what's changed for me the most, is really dialing in who this company and who this service is going to be most effective for. And that's what I've been going through for the past few months.
Now, the reason we wanted to bring you on the show, John, is to showcase your new accomplishment, your new company, and to give our audience an opportunity to understand how Trailblaze Bio could potentially serve them, right? Or those they know, someone they know. So I think you just started answering that. Small seed, could you say it again? What firms are you? Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's any company that's, it could be a couple people sitting around a table having a discussion, thinking, we have an idea, you know, we might want to go out and raise like an initial seed round and see if this thing grows legs and develop proof of concept. We need a place to do that. So now what do? Who do we talk to? That size group, and then groups that have already raised. And, you know, we're on a budget because we're a seed round company. We want to make the most out of our location that we're currently in, or we need something that's a little bit bigger. Maybe we need a few more lab benches, or we need access to a vivarium, or, you know, it can just be really anything operations related for biotech that, you know, you don't have the need for a facilities manager yet or for a full-time person. You need somebody to talk you through how to make those decisions on, where should I be? Where should I position the company? You know, should I be in Cambridge? Should I be in Somerville? Or should we look in Boston? You know, what do we really need? So it's really the early stage groups of less than 20 that are in that sort of formulation period. And that's really who I'm most effective with.
Fantastic. What have you found to be the biggest challenges in groups 20 or less? Like, what are the things that they're facing?
I would say, you know, budget is always a big one. Mm-hmm. These are not, you know, your, you know, 90, 100, you know, 150 million series A companies that you hear about. These are very small groups, very small rounds of funding. So budget is always a huge concern, and it's being able to be resourceful to find used furniture, to find used lab equipment, to put you in an incubator where you can rent by the hour lab equipment that's already there, mm-hmm. And knowing, you know, how much money you can save by finding that perfect fit that has most of the equipment you already need, or cold storage. Mm-hmm. That's really the biggest thing, is the budget. The other thing I work with groups a lot about is, what do you want the long-term footprint of the company to look like? Is this going to grow into a big clinical machine? Is this going to start out as a small R&D group, and then you're going to bring in other groups and outsource things? Like, where do you see the company going? And not only that, you know, what type of environment can your team thrive in? And I think that's it flirts a little bit more with the culture and people aspect of the company, where, you know, everybody talks about like, oh, you know, we want to keep the fun, fast paced, loose startup vibe, like flying by the seat of your pants, because everybody talks about that as the, you know, the greatest days of forming a company. And, but you want to keep that feeling going, and you want to provide a work environment where people, you know, they're not going to say, oh, well, you know, I'll just work from home. I can be more productive there. You have to give them a reason to want to come to work to begin with, and be part of a team and be around each other. So infusing the cool boutique vibe feeling of being in a city, in a cool office, fast-paced environment, but also, you know, looking ahead and, you know, how do we maintain that? Are we just hiring all people in Cambridge and that's what we're dealing with, is just office and lab space here? Are we going to branch out and have people all over the country? And how do we prepare for those things? So it's taking all of those big operational questions and making sure that, you know, you're not going to make all those decisions when you're 10 or 15 people. That's an evolution that happens over time, but you can put the right things in place, the right policies, the have the right attitude about that early on, and carry that with the company, so that you don't have to make those big transitions to culture or to your facility further down the road. So those, I think, are the two most important things.
So based on what you're saying, would you say that it's important that the companies you work with, or do you help them develop a longer term plan to plan for the current day, like a 3 to 5 year plan or a vision of where they want to go? Does that help you and them design what's needed right now?
Yeah. So it's always start with the immediate things that you need. You know, like when I show up to work tomorrow, I need this on the lab bench. I need this gas. I need this amount of cold storage. I need a desk for somebody to sit at. I need access to a video conferencing room, or like, oh, there, hopefully there's phone booths for people to take calls. Like, those are your immediate needs, and you address those quickly and efficiently. But beyond that, it's that 3 to 5 year plan of, you know, well, we're thinking about taking on a piece of real estate or renting an office or maybe some lab space. You know, we found some good secondhand options or second generation space. It's, you know, how do you get the most out of where you are before you take on those longer commitments? And I think with the way everything's changed in the industry after COVID, and how much people have the ability to work from home versus on-site operations people, you know, you're getting a lot more longevity out of each step. It's not like you start out as a team of 20 and then the next year you're a team of 60 and then the next year you're a team of 120. That still happens, sure, but you don't have to step those office and lab and operations pieces as fast as you used to. People are learning how to do a lot more with a lot less, and it's helping out startup companies quite a bit because they're seeing the savings. And, you know, all of this money that we're spending just on real estate and resources, we can now pare that down further to exactly what we need. And we don't have to put those big, you know, 5-10 year scary leases out there right away and overcommit. So
great info. You're honing in a lot on operations, John, and real estate and planning. How about does Trailblaze, or do you, I'd say, coach people in terms of the, you know, putting importance to every conversation, leveraging your network, and like you've achieved what you've achieved, largely from what I'm hearing from those things, like you're saying yes to opportunities, you're building a strong network around you. Is that a service or something that Trailblaze will provide for your clients as well?
It absolutely is. And it's, okay. I encourage people to come to me with any question, and I, you know, I don't care if it's, this is a facilities question and this is a facilities person. Yes, I do that. But at the same time, if you just want to know about something, like, who do I talk to about IT support? You know, who can come in and help me with that? Do you know anybody that does HR consulting or runs an HR service like that? You know, do you have anybody that can put together an EA team for us or find really great EA team members to help, you know, an executive or two, or sometimes even three? Do you know people that can manage that? There, all of those different operations people, I call it the GNA functions of starting a business. That's what I want people to rely on me for. It's not just facilities. equipment in day-to-day operations. It's, you know, who should I use for a real estate attorney? It's questions like that, that, you know, it's outside of my wheelhouse, but I know the people who are really good at and the people you should rely on for those things. So that's my biggest message about Trailblaze Bio is that, you know, you're not just hiring somebody who's has a ton of facilities experience and operations experience. It's the more broad general, like, you know, if I'm not an expert at it, I know somebody who is, and I can introduce you to them. And that's really the value of the company.
So it's in essence, they're leveraging your network.
Yeah. That's basically, I'm offering you what I do and what Trailblaze can do for you, but I'm offering you access to ask me like, hey, can you recommend somebody for literally anything?
That's fantastic. So I'll go a little off business. How is family life and work life balance now that you're a founder? Has that, I'm sure it's changed, but how has it changed?
Yeah, it's actually lately it's been better than what I was doing before. I mean, I do work a lot more from home now. I have a couple projects going in the city that I'm in maybe like 2, sometimes 3 days a week. But it's actually gotten better because I get to actually do the pickup and drop off from school now with my son and my niece and my nephew. And I actually get to spend more time around my family. Like I find myself being busy on the laptop and it's always sort of, you know, I might be in the kitchen, I might be in the living room, I might be in the office. But it's nice to just be able to be around them more and be present. So right now it's great. I know that at some point that scale's going to tip the other direction. And we're worried about it, but we're looking forward to it. So, and I, you know, I have all the support in the world from my family, which means a ton to me. I mean, you know, it's not just me that's going through this massive change. It's everybody around me. It's my wife, especially too, is, you know, nothing but supportive and encouraging, and that's really what I need right now. And so it's actually sort of, you know, gotten them more involved in my career and learning more about what I do. And I don't just disappear to Cambridge 5 days a week and work long hours and then come home and eat dinner and go to bed. They're a lot more involved in it now. So it's actually, I think it's been a great thing.
Congratulations. That's phenomenal. That's excellent to hear. And you're right. Maybe the seesaw will tilt a little bit, but yeah, that remains to be seen.
Yeah. It's gonna tilt back and forth a little bit, and you know, from everything I read and following other founders and hearing about other people's journeys, is that it's gonna go one way sometimes. It's gonna go the other. It's just it's a ride you have to learn to enjoy.
Outstanding. All right, so John, I'm gonna put you on the spot. I'm gonna act like I'm one of these clients, right? And I'm going to ask you, okay, well, you know, you tell me I need to be agile and, you know, I have to exercise lean management. How do I do that? Give me a tip. How do I start?
The number one tip I would say is you need to be able to know who to talk to. And that's the biggest thing, is that, you know, there are companies out there that, you know, they can provide you with, this is a playbook of everything you need to do. Just follow these steps and this is the way to make it successful. You know, I don't think that successful organizations are built on doing the same thing over and over again. And not, you know, whether or not you're developing the same type of product or the same type of pharmaceutical, every single team is different. They work differently. The culture of the company is different. So you need to find resources that can tailor to exactly what you need, whether that's somebody like Trailblaze that's finding you the perfect fit for a flex office and flexible lab solutions, or that is an IT company that's not overselling you on a software stack. They're only delivering the pieces that you need. So, you know, it's a combination. Like, you can run out there and find out of the box solutions, which are great. And I use them sometimes too, but you really want to find the people that will tailor fit your services to exactly what you need, and not just, oh, you're a biotech company, here's what I give to biotech companies. It's right. You need to find people that are invested in your team, that want to get to know you, and they really want to work with you and be part of your success. That's the number one thing that they should be looking for. And that's really, that's how you stay agile, and that's how you stay lean.
How would you encourage companies that might be thinking of a resource like you or Trailblaze to make the investment when they are small? And like you said, one of the biggest things is budget to begin with. So how would an owner or leader or executive in that company make a decision to say, you know what, I'm going to spend money on John Menard at Trailblaze? You know, how does that happen?
So, I mean, right now that's happening through my network. That's, you know, somebody's in a new venture, or they're thinking about starting one, or they're already in stealth mode, trying to stay in stealth mode. Those type of decisions happen when somebody decides, you know, I know I need help with something, and I need somebody to ask questions to, and I need somebody to talk to about something. But I don't need this big service. I don't need to build a department around it. I just need somebody who's familiar enough with operations in a lot of different areas that I can just bounce ideas off of. And I tell, you know, anytime I get introduced through a mutual connection to a company that thinks they might need some service, we're going to find out over the course of a half hour meeting, or maybe even an hour long meeting, do you need my help? Are you at a point where you need it? Maybe it's something that you need a couple months to think about and get to the point where we can work together. But those things all happen organically through conversations. And the most important thing for clients to remember is that I'm an on-demand service, and those initial conversations are always for free. And that's the most important part, is that if you just want to get to know me, or get to know how I can help you, or how we can help each other, let's just have the conversation and see where it goes from there.
Can you say a little bit more about, you're an on-demand service? That sounds very easy to work with you.
Yeah. It's as simple as signing a service agreement, where the hours that I work for you are the hours that I get paid for. You're not on retainer. It's, you know, you don't have to, oh, I have to use up all of my hours to get the value out of it. We're going to put a plan in place for what you need. You know, we'll look at, you know, these are the projects that I want to accomplish. This is what I need to get done immediately. This is what I need help with long term. I need you to sit in on operations meetings for maybe, you know, 5-6 hours a week, and, you know, be that representative on our end of the company. And that's really what I am. You're asking me to step in and be a representative of your company for operations for the time being. So that's, you know, don't be scared of, like, you know, this is a, you know, we're going to have to commit to all these resources in our budget to solve all these problems, and it's going to be a big upfront cost, and it's going to, you know, it'll quickly escalate with however many employees we have. That's not what I'm about, and that's not what I want to provide to small groups. They need somebody to just come in and help them, and work with them too. Like, I'm not dead set on, you know, you have to use my time or my help for a certain amount of hours a week to make it a value to me. The relationship in working with your company and getting to know the people that work there, that's a value add for me, especially right now. So I'm always willing to talk to people about that. I'm always willing to have conversations, as I've told you before. And I just, you know, having that happen organically and really getting down to what you need from me, that's the most important part.
It certainly sounds, John, like there's an enormous return on your investment. You know, I'm not going to say it's a small investment, but it sounds like a 10x return, if not more. And the thing that hit me was, you don't have to build out a whole department. You could utilize Trailblaze Bio to get the resources needed to get the job done without building out an in-house department to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a lot of small projects too. Like, I have people reach out to me that say, I have some data cabling that either doesn't exist or doesn't work right. Like, can you bring in a couple of people for a day or two and knock that out for me? Or, like, I need some gas lines run in the lab, or, like, I need some ductwork put in for a fume hood. Or, like, it's things that, those little things that come up that people say, well, you know, who do we call about that? Do we have to sign a contract with somebody? Like, what do we do about these things? And, you know, that's also sort of my bread and butter, is that I have a strong background in carpentry and plumbing and a little bit of electrical here and there and pulling data lines. Like, you know, I've done a lot of work with my hands, and I know a lot of good union shops that provide those services. So it's a all around resource for people.
Excellent. What else would you want our listeners to know about Trailblaze if we haven't already covered it?
I want people to know is that I'm always willing, and I've probably said this a few times now, I'm always willing to have a conversation with people just to see where the conversation goes. I mean, I've met with potential clients who didn't turn into clients either because they chose another service for another reason, or that it just, you know, I was able to introduce them to somebody else who was exactly what they needed at that moment. And then maybe I'll talk to them down the road. But the fact that I know them now and that they're aware of what I'm doing, they're going to talk to other people in their network and they're going to say, oh, you know, I know this person who can help you with that. And that's, you know, if you just want to talk to me and find out more about the company and more about the services I provide, just reach out and it can be a 15-minute conversation to talk things through, or, you know, I can send you a one pager. So just, if you want to know about what I'm doing, then please reach out.
I'm going to say, it certainly sounds like it's very easy to work with you, John. It's certainly easy to talk with you. So
I love having conversations with people, and I've always felt like there's a huge value in talking to people and getting to know people, especially in the biotech industry and really just, you know, in life in general. It's nice to learn about other people and what they're doing. So it's something I enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. How would people get in touch with you if they wanted to engage after listening to the show, getting to know you a little bit more as a return guest here? How would you suggest people reach out to you and contact you?
You can send an info email through the website, through trailblazebio.com. You can look me up on LinkedIn, John Menard on LinkedIn. You can look up Trailblaze Bio on LinkedIn. All my contact information, company emails up there. You can message me on LinkedIn. I'm on it all the time. I check it regularly, and I'm talking to people on there actually this morning too. So lots of ways to get a hold of me. Any one of them is fine. Or you can just call me. Yeah.
Do you want to share your number so people can call you?
Absolutely. It's 603-340-2909.
Outstanding. John, I've been excited to have you back on the show. I'm so glad you wanted to come back and talk about Trailblaze Bio on the other side of the launch. And I can't thank you enough for coming back, man. It's been really, really good talking with you.
Yeah, I enjoy it too. And I want people to know, you know, obviously, being able to promote the company and being on here is amazing. And I can't thank you enough for having me on. That's great. But it's nice to be able to share my experience and, you know, what I'm going through, where I'm hoping to get, and just, you know, hopefully somebody will listen to this and say, oh, I've been thinking about doing that. You know, maybe I can reach out to John and say, you know, what do you think about this? How does it feel? What's it like? Like, I'm always happy to share my experience with other people.
And you're showing that right now. And I love the data and everything you shared with us. And for everyone listening, if you pick something up that was valuable, if you know someone in the life science industry or pharmaceutical, if you yourself could use the services that John provides, please feel free to reach out to Trailblaze Bio. I know we'd love to hear from you. And we thank you for listening and investing your time on our show. It's been another exciting episode of Facility Rockstars, and we'll see everybody next time.
It's a wrap. Another episode of Facility Rockstars is in the books. Facility Rockstars is sponsored by Colutus, operating the way you operate in order to make your life easier. Until next time, facilitate and rock on. Rock on.